For decades, ranchers and wild horse advocates have traded barbs. Yet now that Nevada's wild horse population has reached an all-time high, most agree that there are too many horses in some herds. The eastern side of the state in particular has thousands more horses than the Bureau of Land Management says the area can sustain. But just what to do about it isn't so clear. As KUNR's Kathleen Masterson reports, many ranchers say the horses are overgrazing and it's costing them big.
There's a couple colts there. I guess if we're on the road, we're not going to harass them. We'll get as close as we can. Mitt! Hey!
Gratian Ualdi is a third-generation Nevada rancher. In the back of his pickup truck, one of his sheepdogs is barking at a band of at least 11 bay horses loping in the distance. They're a common sight in this area. Ualdi is 62, gracious, and sports a bushy white handlebar mustache. He started lambing with his grandfather at just 13 years old. Today, he's driving through his ranching allotment on public lands in Butte Valley, just south of Ely. To measure grazing impacts on the land, the Bureau of Land Management sets up cages that protect about 4 square feet of earth from horses, wildlife, and livestock. The plant growth inside the cage shows what plant communities would look like without any grazing. Ualdi points to the bushy white sage and green forbs inside one such cage.
That's what it should look like.
Yeah, that's probably what, 8 inches plus?
Yeah.
And then what would you say everything around it is?
Down to the dirt damn near.
Yeah. Driving through Butte Valley, vast stretches look like a dirt field sprinkled with 1-inch tufts of green sage. The BLM estimates there are 1,500 horses in this area. That's 1,000 more than are supposed to be here. The damage is so significant, Ualdi says he's chosen not to turn out sheep on this pasture in the past 2 years.
I mean, there's no point in going out there if there's nothing to eat. You're just only hurting yourself. Like I told you, Kathleen, the horses are there 24/7, 365, and if that was a rancher, we'd be in prison.
Yeah. Ranchers are only given permits to graze livestock for several months a year and can only use a certain percentage of the forage. If they overstay, they face serious penalties. However, as any rancher will tell you, the horses use key land resources every day of the year. Barry Perryman is a rangeland scientist with the University of Nevada, Reno. He says the problem isn't simply the number of horses.
They tend to congregate around watering points, riparian zones and seeps and springs. And so when they're concentrated on those habitats start seeing some of the damage. And in some cases, we're losing feet of soil.
But Perryman says because the overpopulation is so significant that right now the only effective tool is really to gather the horses and remove them from the range.
A lot of people want to talk about contraception as being a viable alternative, and it is once you get to AML. Once you get to appropriate management levels, then a lot of these tools make sense.
Right now, in the Ely BLM district alone, there are about 12,000 horses on the range. That's 10,000 over the designated herd size. With so many horses, it would take decades to reduce the population with fertility control alone. And administering contraception to wild horses that roam these remote areas is incredibly challenging. For one, a person with a rifle and a dart must get within 30 yards of the horse. Then that same horse must receive a booster shot within a few months. And all that only prevents pregnancy for 1 year. But wild horse advocates say there are other options, such as bait trapping the horses every year and applying fertility control while they're in the corral. Ginger Catherines is a longtime vocal critic of the BLM's handling of wild horse populations.
I serve on the National BLM Advisory Board as their humane advocate.
Catherines used to be a staunch advocate against applying birth control because it interfered with the natural procreation of wild horses. But in recent years, she's changed her mind. Now she says the agency hasn't invested enough time and money trying fertility control on wild populations in federal horse management areas, or HMAs.
And so all of a sudden now we've got a crisis situation in certain herds, and I do believe that there are too many horses in some of the Nevada HMAs because the habitat just is not the greatest for large grazing animals, and that includes livestock.
El batres de bajo silla.
Ya, por eso que en vez de cuando se suelta el boni,
Back in eastern Nevada, north of Ely, Hank Vogler has driven several hours onto his public lands allotment to give one of his sheep herders batteries for the radio. With a lumbering frame and broad shoulders, Vogler is well known as an outspoken and bullish critic on many issues. And he isn't shy about his concern with wild horse damage on public land where he ranches.
I'm supposed to have 168 head of horses, and there's 2,100 head. I started gathering my cattle off of range that I had paid for and range that I had a prescribed use of for a certain period of time. I was buying over $1,000 a day for hay to supplement their diets because they were going to starve to death.
Driving along bumpy dirt roads in the pelting rain, Vogler points out the window to a dirt patch covered by spiny, succulent-like plants called halogeton. It's poisonous to livestock and viciously difficult to remove. And the invasive plant can take over when native plants have been grazed down to the nubs.
This used to be white sage over here. See the stud piles all over it? The thing of it is, we're due to come into this field. We can only use a certain percentage of the feed in this field, then we have to leave. And maybe we have a permit in here for 2 months, but if our percentage of the feed is gone in 10 days, we have to leave.
The Bureau of Land Management did gather some horses from a herd near Vogler's ranch after we spoke. But the horse populations are still significantly over carrying capacity. Celeste Carlisle is a biologist with the Wild Horse Advocacy Group Return to Freedom. She sums up the conundrum quite concisely.
Quite frankly, our public lands are multi-use. And so regardless of what our personal opinions are or our hopes and dreams for our, you know, utopian view of what our public lands are, we have to operate within these parameters of what is happening out there. And grazing is historically and culturally significant in the West.
And how to reach that balance where wildlife, horses, ranchers, and other users of public land all have a sustainable share? That, Carlisle says, means we're going to need to use all the non-lethal management tools we can. Kathleen Masterson, KUNR News.